Let's jump into bottled water. I want to start with an excerpt from the book, from the preface, because it gives a real good idea of the scope of what we're talking about here. You write, "Yet every second of every day in the United States, 1,000 people buy and open up a plastic bottle of commercially produced water. And every second of every day in the U.S., 1,000 plastic bottles are thrown away. 85 million bottles a day, more than 30 billion bottles a year, at a cost to consumers of tens of billions of dollars. And for every bottle consumed in the U.S., another 4 are consumed around the world." I had no idea it was this big. I mean, I knew it was irritating and big, but no idea it was this big.
You know, I think it sort of has creeped up on all of us. I certainly grew up with no bottled water at all. I grew up drinking tap water. I think most of your listeners did as well. And yet, year by year, there's been this growing, explosively growing demand for bottled water. And now we're in this situation where billions and billions of bottles are bought and sold every year in the United States and around the world. It's pretty remarkable.
We deal with conspiracies a lot on this program, as you may or may not know. And I'm not sure if we can call this a conspiracy, but it certainly didn't occur on its own out of thin air. How did it happen?
Well, you know, it's certainly a conspiracy in the simplest sense of the term. It's a commercial conspiracy. It's a conspiracy to make us move away from our incredibly cheap, typically very high-quality tap water, to spending a lot of money that makes a lot of money for some companies and some corporations. That's what companies do. They sell us things. And in this case, someone had a brilliant idea that they could figure out a way to make us buy far more expensive water than we get out of our tap. That's not really, in my opinion, any better than what we get out of the tap, and make money doing it.
Can you point to the seminal moment when this happened, when the light bulb went off in some marketing guy's head?
You know, I think it really has creeped up on us. It's been coming for decades. There's always been commercially sold water, mineral waters of different kinds. 100 years ago, there were special mineral waters from all parts of the country, all parts of the world, that had certain levels of minerals that people thought provided certain kinds of health benefits. People went to spas that had special waters. And at the commercial level, probably in the 90s, the early 90s, maybe the late 80s, we started to see Perrier. We started to see some of those bubbly mineral waters from France come to the United States. But it's really the explosive growth of the still water, the not the bubbly stuff, but the plain water in plastic bottles that has become the big market.
And it's, I guess with Perrier, it started as sort of like a status symbol. Hey, look at me, I'm drinking French water and it's expensive.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there is an added benefit to bubbly water, to sparkling water. People like that. And if you had the money, yeah, look at me, I'm buying this special water from France. And there's lots of that anyway. We do that as a luxury for all sorts of kinds of goods. But this use of still water, the flat water, the water without bubbles, the stuff that's the same as what you get out of your taps, that's 95% of what we buy now. That's the majority of what we're buying in these plastic bottles. And it's completely unnecessary, in my opinion, in the United States.
For this to work, for us to buy this stuff, of course, they've got to turn us off to drinking tap water. I can remember drinking water out of the hose out in the yard as a kid. I suppose if I did that now, supposedly I would die or something. It's so bad. But you have some quotes in the book that I thought were very telling. One is a quote from a flyer touting the stock of a Texas bottled water company, that tap water is poison. And then another quote from a lady named Susan Wellington of Quaker Oats, who says, "When we're done, tap water will be relegated to showers and washing dishes." So it sounds like they set out to do exactly this.
Well, first of all, George, I think you could still drink water from your hose without dying. But yes, there are lots of reasons we buy bottled water. It's very convenient, and it's been made convenient because now you can buy it almost anywhere you go. Sometimes we don't like the taste of our tap water in some places. But there are two other reasons that I think are really more important. One is we're increasingly afraid of our tap water, and I think there's been an intentional effort to make us fear our tap water. And the other reason is we've been bombarded with unbelievably aggressive advertising and marketing. That's what you have to do to sell a product to anybody. And we all see millions of ads every week for all sorts of things. But the advertising for bottled water, I think, has been a key element in why people buy bottled water. They think that it's healthier. They think that it's tastier. Even if they can't tell the difference in a blind taste test, they think that it's going to make them sexier or it's going to make them more popular with the in crowd. All the tools of advertising have been applied to bottled water.
Let's go back to this issue of taste and taste tests. Tell us what you've found with these taste tests. Are the results consistent?
Well, consistently, and there have been lots of taste tests all over the country, people do not know the difference between bottled water and tap water. It's very rare, unless you have really horrible tasting tap water, which, you know, you have sometimes in some places, but not usually. In general, people cannot tell the difference between bottled water and tap water in a truly blind taste test, or they can't tell the difference between cheap bottled water and really expensive bottled water. And I've done dozens of these taste tests, and I think I'm pretty discerning, and I get it wrong all the time.
Here in Las Vegas, I don't know, maybe it's just my head, I guess, but we have a lot of harsh water because of the Colorado River and how far it travels. So I have to guess that maybe we use more bottled water than almost anywhere. Are there statistics that you can break down about which areas of the country use more of it than others?
You know, I don't know. And believe me, the beverage companies guard those statistics very carefully. I don't know where the greatest amounts of bottled water are used. I would guess in places like Los Angeles and Las Vegas. Certainly places where the water may not taste very good, that promotes bottled water use quite a bit. I would point out, we have the ability to make municipal water, our tap water, taste like anything. We could make the best tasting tap water we wanted with the technology that's already available for purifying and cleaning water at a cost far below what we pay for bottled water. So even where water doesn't taste good, it ought to. We ought to insist that our municipal water be brought up to standards that are drinkable. That's I think, a pretty minimal thing we could expect.
Let's talk about health standards for a second. There was a time when American water, there were a lot of problems with it. I can remember as a teenager, and you mentioned it in the book as well, the Cuyahoga River catching on fire, problems in Lake Erie and pollution around the country. You would say in general, though, that American tap water is pretty safe, pretty clean.
I would. Certainly 100 years ago, 150 years ago, water-related diseases, the things that you get when you don't have access to safe drinking water, like cholera and the terrible outbreak that's going on right now in Haiti, and dysentery and typhoid, you know, the things that you see in a lot of developing countries that don't have good municipal water systems, they were rampant here in the United States as well. And then the Industrial Revolution occurred, and one of the things that we did was we fixed our water systems. We built tap water systems that the rest of the world, frankly, wishes they had. We purify our water. We filter our water. We deliver incredibly high quality, incredibly cheap water 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to our taps. Now, I would be the first to admit that there are times when our tap water is not as good as it could be. We should be upgrading our tap water system. We should be maintaining the system that's really one of the things that made this country great. And we're not spending the money in all the places necessary to do that, but we could. But that's one of the things that's driving people to bottled water. They're afraid, rightly or wrongly, and mostly wrongly, that bottled water is better.
You said that this secrets are tightly kept by the companies that market this stuff, but do you have some general idea about how much of this stuff each of us is drinking?
Oh, sure. We do know at a national level how much bottled water we're buying. In the U.S. last year, about 9 billion gallons, that's with a B, were bought by U.S. consumers. That's about 30 gallons per person per year. Now, 35 years ago, it was 1 gallon per person per year in the United States. That's how much it's grown from one. And in those days, it was mostly office coolers. You know, it was mostly people drinking water at the office out of those big 6 gallon jugs. Now it's gone from 1 gallon a year to 30 gallons a year per person.
Does it require lies on the part of the companies that are selling this stuff, the bottlers, the Coke or pop companies, the folks who are behind this thing and the big push? Does it require lies on their part, subterfuge, misdirection plays for us to go along with this?
Well, certainly. The implication of a lot of the advertising is that bottled water is safer.